and verse number 24. These are the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Just back to chapter 4 of the same book, John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse number 21. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. He's speaking to this woman at Sychar's well. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Just one final reading in chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." I'd like to speak of these 4 hours that we have read up tonight in John's Gospel. There are at least 4 hours. And as we have read of these hours, we need to understand that they are not necessarily, in all cases, speaking of a time period of 60 minutes. As the Lord Jesus spoke of this time frame, it was denoting a time or a period or even a season in which there was an appointed purpose. And tonight, God's desire is that you too would be aware of the times in which you are living. Now it's 18 minutes after 8 on a Wednesday night in the month of February of 1999. And yet, even behind this very simple fact, you have come through your schedule today. You have accomplished what you have set out to do, possibly. Or maybe you've come to this meeting a bit frustrated because the hours of the day just haven't fulfilled what you wanted. But behind all of the hours of every day, there is another time frame. There are other bigger factors that affect all of our lives. And it's most important that we are aware, not just of the hour on the clock, but of what is happening in our day and in all the circumstances of our lives. Perhaps I can explain illustrate very simply. In the 1920s, my grandparents and my father and mother, they were just in their teens at that time. They were living in the land of Russia, and there were political things happening in that land that were very concerning. There was tremendous unrest. There was anarchy. Power was out of control. And as my grandparents on both sides of my family worked the fields, and they were very, very prosperous farmers. They had large houses and barns, a great measure of prosperity. They began to understand that there were things happening around them that they needed to be aware of. Not just aware of, but understanding what was happening. And by 1926 and 1927, my grandparents had come to the place where, because of what was happening around them, they made a choice. And they said, we are going to leave our prosperity, regardless of the cost, and we are going to do our best to leave this troubled land because we want liberty. And so they had an auction. They got just a pittance for what they owned. They abandoned their houses. They abandoned their farms. They were able to buy some tickets, and they emigrated to Canada with absolutely nothing. But all of these years after that, they have looked back to that awareness, to the understanding of what was happening, and they're most thankful that they moved in time. They made the right choice. And tonight, what we are dealing with has a far greater consequence. For you see, friend, it concerns your eternal future. In all the scheduling of your lives, in all the busyness of your week, in all of your plans that are maybe so carefully laid out, there is a greater reality that you need to become aware of. And the reality is simply this, that there is a God who is speaking to you in the midst of all of the activities that you are involved with. I wonder tonight, have you ever understood the hour that you are presently engaged in? This is a wonderful hour. We don't appreciate it half enough. But the Lord Jesus in John chapter 5, he can say, the hour is coming. And then he says, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What kind of an hour is it anyway? Are we involved in that hour? Yes. It's an hour that's involved with a sinner's salvation. When heaven's concern and love and interest has been shown. And I trust that it'll move all of us, including the speaker, to understand that the heart of God was so moved that he sent his only begotten Son to speak to us. It's been said that the mighty creation shows the hand of God. We marvel at that. But it's the place called Calvary, along with the incarnation, that makes us aware that God has given us his heart. And to think that God actually sent his Son into this world just to speak to us. I recall in my second year of university, I had enrolled in one course. It was English and German. And after about 3 weeks of that, I said, that's enough of that. I'm not too interested in reading all of the literature of the German language. And so I changed my course. And of course, there's an awful lot of catch-up to do. And to my surprise, there's a professor that singled me out of the very large class that I was in, and he said, Mr. Dirksen, you are 3 weeks behind. I would like you to come to my office, and I will be glad to give you private lectures to bring you up to date. Now, he didn't have to do that. He wasn't obligated to do that. He didn't receive any extra money to do that. But because of his interest, he singled me out. He even brought me a cup of tea. And I sat in his office taking notes, drinking tea. You know, I have never forgotten that, and we're still in touch because of his interest. But have you ever stopped to understand that there was one who came from heaven with you in mind? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Not just a man's voice, not just an angel's voice. Lot in the city of Sodom spoke with angels. He heard their voices. But this goes far beyond an angel's voice. The Son of God has come, and He has spoken to us. I wonder, have you ever stopped to listen? That's the wonder of this hour, that a voice has come from heaven. The voice of the Son of God. He stepped into His own creation out of love and of interest and concern. He has spoken to us. Tell me, what kind of a voice is it? That voice is a voice of clear instruction. There was a man who was very interested in this teacher that was walking through the land of Israel. One night he came to where the Lord Jesus was residing, and he knocked on the door and he says, "Could I have a talk with you?" And of course he was welcomed in. And he sat down across from the Lord Jesus and he said, "Rabbi, or sir, master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For nobody can do the miracles that you're doing, that thou art doing, except God be with him." The Lord Jesus looked at that man, and in tenderness and yet with clarity, he said, "Nicodemus, marvel not when I'm going to tell you this. You must be born again." You see, that's the voice that is still being heard tonight. Clear instruction. Our condition is incapable of pleasing God. Sin has reduced us and brought us out of favor and not favor, but out of a relationship with God. There has been a great gap formed and a great barrier has come between God and man. And tonight man needs to be born again to receive the life of God, that he might be brought into relationship again. And the Lord Jesus so clearly instructed that man, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What kind of a voice was that? There was a day when the Lord Jesus looked at his own nation, and he was moved not only with compassion, but he was moved with sorrow. For they would have no part of him. And yet, in wondrous grace, he could say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's the voice of the Son of God. He has come to where we are, right alongside of us in the gutter of sin, right alongside of us in the pride of our arrogance, right alongside of us in the futility of our plans. And He says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are weighed down, heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Right? He's the only one that's able to deliver on that promise. I'm looking at individuals here, and we've heard His voice. We responded to His invitation. We haven't come trying to pay for it. We haven't been able to come, and we don't have to come to try and earn it or merit it. We have just come because He has invited us. And His promise is true. And there are those tonight, and we are enjoying rest. And we have peace with God. And our lives have been changed. Because the dead have heard the voice of the Son of God. A voice of gracious invitation. The voice of the Son of God. It's a voice of urgent command. And while we sometimes raise our voices, and you might have to bear with some of us Eastern preachers, yet this message is an urgent one. There are those here tonight, and you are closer to losing your soul than you have ever been before. You are on the pathway that seems to you to be so secure, And I have no doubt in my mind there are likely individuals here, maybe some of these young people here at the very front. I don't know. And you fully intend to get saved someday. I trust there's nobody here that plans to lose their soul. I don't think you'd be at a meeting like this if that was your intention. You intend to be saved someday. And yet you have not heard his voice. Because he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And there's a reason for that. He says, when once the master of the house has risen up and the door is closed, and ye begin to stand without and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And you miss the voice. He urged you. It was a clear exhortation of urgency. But you are in no hurry. And tragically, I trust it might not be so, but I fear that there will likely be those to whom we preach in this series. And though you intend to be saved, you are going to be lost. It was a voice of solemn warning. He could say, ye shall, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, ye cannot come. I grew up in the most southerly point in Canada. It's a little town called Leamington. And one of the attractions of Leamington is that it's not only the tomato capital of Canada, but it's just above the most southerly point of the mainland of Canada. It's a very, very small national park called Point Pelee. It's quite an interesting walk to go to that, to the extremity of that point, where you actually walk down this large sand dune that, depending on the wave action, the wind action, it changes. Sometimes it's curved this way, sometimes it's curved that way. But it's kind of a strange sensation when you come right to the end of that little spit of land, and there's water almost all around you. There's only one way, and that's back. But you know, there is a point on that large sand spit in which there is a tremendously dangerous undertow. And the National Parks of Canada, out of concern and with a sense of imminent warning, they have put up very, very large signs, no swimming beyond this point. But what amazed me was not just the bigness of the sign. They actually ran an electrical wire hundreds and hundreds of feet underneath the sand. And they illuminated that sign day and night. Because you see, they met the warning. And yet, tragically, every single year, there are people that pass by that sign. They see the letters. They know the meaning. They disregard it. Because they're stronger than the undertow. They can handle it. It won't be me. And they walk right past a sign of warning put there for their safety. And they miss the voice. Tell me, do you think you're going to handle the undertow? Do you think that you're going to be stronger than the forces that are moving in all around you concerning the need of your soul? Heaven's concern has moved toward us and has spoken to us with absolute plainness. The hour is coming, and it's right here. It's happening right now. When the dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Not only do we have heaven's concern, but we have the very tragic condition of the individuals, of those tonight still in their sins. The Lord Jesus just used one word, dead. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. But what did he mean when he said dead? Well, very simply, when someone ceases to have life, when they die, when they're dead, there is no response. There's no life. They don't hear anymore. And you know, tragically, that describes every individual who are in their sins. For almost 22 years, I was unresponsive to God. For all those years, though He spoke to me time after time, I didn't pick up the message. In fact, the Bible says God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And tonight in this meeting, there are all kinds of hearers. Up until now, you have been unresponsive. The line is dead. Sin has separated you. And yet, the gospel message has come, just as the Savior's words came to the ears of thousands in the land of Israel. Were they all saved? No, they weren't all saved. There were some that were absolutely hardened to His voice. As hard as this pulpit. Heard His voice. People were amazed. They were amazed at the way the Lord Jesus spoke. They said, His words are gracious. They were amazed at His power. And yet there were those, and they saw all of that, and they heard all of that. Didn't mean that much to them. And tragically, not only in Vancouver, but across this land and around the world, there are those that hear the voice of the Son of God in the gospel in their heart. There are those tonight that hear the voice of the Son of God in the gospel, and there's a measure of conviction, but there's a shallowness to it. Think of a man called Felix, and you no doubt have heard of that man who sat in a gospel meeting, very different from this meeting. He was there just with his wife and himself and the preacher. And he trembled. That's something you don't see very much of these days, do you? Not too much trembling in gospel meetings anymore. Not too many jeers. Here's a man who trembled. Here's a man and he heard the voice. Here's a man and he understood, this is for me. And yet there was a shallowness to his conviction. And he thought, maybe I could use this for my own advantage. I'd like to be saved, but... And he missed it. There was another man and he was not only convicted, but he was concerned. And I have no doubt in my mind that I'm likely speaking to individuals and there have been times when you have been concerned. Maybe you have gone home from a gospel meeting and you haven't been able to sleep because of what you understood from the Bible concerned you and convicted you. You realized I'm lost. You understood I have no hope. You have been able to face the fact if I die tonight, I'll be lost in hell forever. And yet tonight you're still lingering, still waiting, still almost persuaded, but not fully. Thank God there were those that heard. They heard life-giving words. They heard living words. And they understood their need and they faced the great issues. The need of the salvation of their soul. And the Lord Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead ones shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Two types of hearing. There were thousands of people that heard the Savior's voice. There were only a few that heard His voice for themselves personally. And tonight, friend, I'd just like to sit down by telling you that the consequences of salvation are wonderful. They that hear shall live. They that hear shall be brought into an eternal relationship with the God of salvation. They that hear, they that respond, they that obey the gospel, they that understand personally and are willing to receive the fact, Christ died for the ungodly, Christ died for me, are brought into the blessedness of their sins forgiven. Oh, happy day. Almost 28 years ago, when I heard His voice for the first time, and I understood it was for me, He's calling a poor sinner called Marmon.
And for 28 years, I've known what it is to live. The hour is coming, and now is. This is that hour. The hour of salvation for the individual. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live.